The death of Kobe Bryant has touched a nation, a world, a city, and each of us individually in perhaps our own way. So I wanted to take a moment to do a podcast with individual people to reflect on their thoughts, their feelings about this tragic crash that killed 9 people, Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and there were 7 others on board that we don't want to forget. And it's one of those things that no matter whether you knew Kobe Bryant or not, were a true basketball fan or not, you can't help but be touched by the tragedy. So with me now is one of my guests, Sylvia Santana. Hi, Sylvia.
Hello, Christine.
And Sylvia is one of my colleagues. Sylvia is responsible for this beautiful makeup on my face each and every night. And I think that with the death of Kobe Bryant, wouldn't you say, Sylvia, we're all just talking about it.
Yes, we are. I think it's good to talk about it. I think because he's a high-profile person. And looking at all the coverage, I think it just triggers different thoughts that or losses, actually, that we've had in our lives.
I think that you see it in a lot of different ways because, A, you work here at Fox 11, so you're kind of in the thick of the news coverage each and every day. But you also live in Newport yourself, where Kobe Bryant lives.
Yes.
His family lives. Mm-hmm. And then also you experience loss yourself.
Yes.
You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I think when I heard about it, I felt my father passed away when I was 17. And I was the oldest of 6 kids. And the oldest daughter of Kobe is 17. And she's in high school like I was. And I feel for her because when I was in high school and I went back, and actually the timing of it, my father passed away on February 9th. I mean, he was in an accident also. He was in a car accident and survived just a couple days. And it was in Mexico, just over El Paso. And I think tragedy, when you've experienced it, you feel for the other family because mm-hmm. it's a long journey. It's actually a life journey. And so I relate to Vanessa, what a difficult path she has ahead, but yet she still has a bright future because she has her young kids too. And she's not alone. And that helps the kids help the mom continue mm. because the kids keep growing,
right.
you know, and they'll. So she might ask herself, you know, why not me? But what's ahead for her is to share the birthdays, the holidays with those, you know, young little girls. And that's what maybe her purpose is to, you know, bring them down the little path.
Yeah. And you're a mom, too. So, you know, your son is how old?
He's 15.
Okay. So you can relate to being a parent, loving your child so much.
Yes. I mean, I don't know what it would be to lose a child, but I've had friends that have lost their sons. And they struggle, and I feel for them. And over the years, of course, I've cried with them when they're crying. So I can't imagine what Vanessa's going to go through. But I feel for her, and I think she'll find comfort that everyone feels for her.
She actually posted her Instagram statement, and we're actually doing this podcast just a short time after, coincidentally, that Vanessa Bryant went back on social media and she gave us her thoughts and her words. And I think so many have been wondering how she was doing, knowing that it's got to be tremendous grief.
Yes.
Let me just read one line about what she had to say. She writes, "My girls and I want to thank the millions of people who've shown support and love during this horrific time. Thank you for all the prayers. We definitely need them." Can you imagine having to be a public person dealing with this tragedy and loss?
I can't imagine. Years ago when my son was younger and I saw her girls at the park. I didn't know who she was, but I saw her, you know, two girls.
Because you're a Newport family. You
yes,
live in Newport as well.
Yeah. So when our kids were young, you know, we'd go to similar parks and the church. And to think that the innocence at that time, that, you know, we just don't know what the future holds for us and how precious just for me to look back that we were at the park at the same time, you know?
It just goes to show you that they were a family like anybody else,
yeah,
raising children, going to the park, your child on a basketball league, going on family vacations, dressing up for Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah. I had too seen them out. I was visiting a friend in Newport and stopped to get my nails done on the way back to L.A., and I saw this beautiful woman. And I think she had two girls with her. And I'm like, who is that woman?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I was drawn to her. And I was just, she was stunning. And the nail tech told me, oh, that's Vanessa Bryant. She comes here all the time. I wanted to say hello because I'd, you know, interviewed Kobe Bryant a number of times. But I also am a believer of respecting people with their privacy, especially when you're a public figure, because I'm sure everybody wants to come up and say hello. And if
right,
you're Kobe, get a hug, get an autograph, get a photo. So I wanted to be
yeah,
that person who didn't bother them, even though I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I wanted to be of support to her. But that's a regular thing in Newport. People would see them out.
Yes, yes. And I was at the grocery store, that Pavilions in Newport Coast once, and Kobe happened to be there. And, you know, he was so gracious with all the fans. I mean, I didn't go up to him. I just watched, you know, because I think being part of the media, you just step back a little bit. But I just really enjoyed watching and how people are such in awe was or were. And awe of him.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to see.
Where were you when you got the news? I think that's one thing everyone's talking about. How'd you hear about it? How'd you hear about the crash?
Well, you know, it was my mom's birthday on Sunday. And we were getting together for a brunch over at the Odyssey in Granada Hills. And my sister-in-law, Cynthia, she said, "Can you believe that Kobe died?" And I just was like, "What?" And I'm like, I was just kind of in disbelief of what? She goes, "A helicopter crash." I go, "What?" I'm like, I just was surprised and I couldn't believe it. And, you know, my mom and my stepdad, Ray, they were a fan of Kobe's also. And they actually happened to see him in Newport when they were visiting me at, you know, one time. And, so they were fans of his, too. And I guess, you know, when you see the happiness that someone brings to someone's life and it's just, it's, you remember those moments. And I think that's what it is. I mean, I didn't know him. I have only seen him. But you remember the moments that he brought light to other people's lives.
Yeah. And I think, too, whether people, like I said earlier, knew him as a fan as they watched the NBA on their TVs and they cheered for their favorite basketball player, or they actually saw him from afar at the grocery store or bumped into him in any fashion. I mean, to see one of the greatest at whatever they do in life on this, you know, in front of them is an amazing thing. You know, just the aura of people like
yes,
that is usually
mm-hmm,
something. Vanessa goes on to write on her Instagram posting, "This is Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa Bryant. We are completely devastated by the sudden loss of my adoring husband, Kobe, and the amazing father of our children and my beautiful, sweet Gianna." Sylvia, the sudden loss part is something you and I can both relate
yes,
to. I, as an adult, though, lost my father in a scuba diving accident and your father in a car accident. Do you want to share what it was like, that suddenness for you? Oh. Because I know me, when I got, my mother called me, literally my knees buckled, and I literally buckled and fell to the ground.
Well, I do remember that. I mean, like it was yesterday. It really leaves an imprint in your mind.
You don't forget that
day.
No, you never forget that day.
I remember I came home from high school, and I went to St. Genevieve's in Panorama City, and I came home, and my dad was supposed to come back from a trip. He went on a road trip, and my mom got a phone call, and I heard the phone ring, and I was in my room, and we had lived in a small home, and I heard a sound in her voice, and I knew it was bad news.
Yeah.
And it was a Friday. And so I would have been home maybe 1, 2 o'clock before the other kids, because I was a senior. And then it was like in fast motion after that. It didn't stop. But she left on a Friday night, and she came back on a Sunday.
She went to, because your father died out of town.
Yeah, yes.
So she had
outside
to go there.
I believe it was at one of the hospitals near Chihuahua, Mexico, which is near the border of El Paso.
And he died a few days after the crash.
Yes.
So she went to be with him.
Yes. And he actually brought some, my aunts, his sisters, two sisters and a brother, I think. And but they didn't make it in time. He died on the following day. And then my mom returned on Sunday. And I remember watching my brothers and sisters playing in the backyard. And I said, as soon as my mom walks in, it's all going to change. And sometimes you can't change. I don't know. You want to leave the innocence of those children.
Yeah.
And as soon as she walked in, I knew it was over for them. Their life will be changed, even though I knew the day before, because my grandma told me. And I couldn't let my brothers and sisters know. I said, just wait until your mom gets home. So I had to try to keep it together.
So you were 17 and you had five sisters and brothers?
Yes.
How old were they?
Yolanda was 15.
And Yolanda is now a graphics artist?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. So, my other brother, Mario, he have to do the math.
There's so many. Is that the police officer?
The police officer, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a detective. And he would have been 13. Mm-hmm. And then Alex, he would have been maybe 12 because they were close.
Tell me something about Alex.
He is a professor in philosophy at the University of Portland.
Okay.
That's what he teaches. And then I have a sister, Leticia. And at that time, she would have been, let's see, Alex was 12, then she would have maybe been 10. And then the youngest.
Okay, and Alicia does?
Oh, she's a pastry chef in New York.
I was going to say, you haven't brought us pastries in yet once.
I know, because it's so far.
All right. And then?
Then Alma was the little one, and she was a little over 2.
Okay. So like Vanessa Bryant, a baby.
Yeah, a baby, yeah. Yeah. And so my little sister doesn't really remember my dad at all.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, they'll be able to read books, you know, because he'll
Vanessa
be in
Bryant's
books.
Vanessa Bryant's children.
Yeah, there's a lot of video now,
yeah.
So they'll be able
to. Because there wasn't that kind of documenting of video and photos like we do now.
Right, exactly. So they'll be able to relive that and at least get to know a person. That there'll be probably plenty of documentaries about him where they can see it for themselves.
Yeah.
So that it would be, that's a good thing.
And your little sister is where?
Oh, my little sister, she's a corrections officer, and she's in Chino right now.
You know, I wanted to just kind of throw out, because I knew what some of your family does, just that positive note, because it does show you that despite this tragedy, that your family was able to still grow up, the children were able to grow up and to be productive citizens, to carry their your father in their heart, and yes, to perhaps live for him. His legacy lives on through them.
Yes. Yeah. And my dad, too, he was actually very active in our local church. It was St. Joseph the Worker. And him and my mother ran a few restaurants called Santana's. And I know maybe somebody listening might know about those, but mm-hmm. that's been a long time. And so they had a lot of success. And my that one thing that Kobe and my dad have in common is that he was 42. Mm. So we to see just the age. And my mom was young, too. She was 39, I believe, or 38 and a half.
It's awfully tough to be on your own and, yeah, and raising children through grief.
Yes.
And having a baby.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A toddler. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And, yeah, Vanessa's got a 7-month-old. Yeah.
What do you want to say about how your mom did with all that?
You know what? I think what it is, I think what made it keep going is that we were all together. Mm-hmm. And we had dinners together every night. You know, we had, you know, on the weekends, we cleaned the house and play together. Because there were so many of us. You know, we'd play together. You went to school. We studied together. We had dinners together. And I think that is what kept us going.
Vanessa Bryant writes in her Instagram posting, "I just wish I could hug them, kiss them, and bless them, have them here with us forever." Can I ask you how you still feel your father?
You know what? I would say I still miss him. Mm-hmm. I still miss him to this day.
It's been how many years? In a long time.
Since 1980, yeah.
Okay.
So it's been a long time. But yeah, I still miss him. I just, I believe he had a lot of wisdom. Mm-hmm. I know I was still only 17, but over the years I did learn a lot from him. And not everybody's perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think I learned from him. And that even if you're not perfect, you can keep trying. And so he had some humble qualities. And
what was his name? I don't think I got his name.
Oh, his name is Mario Santana. Mario. Yeah.
You know, I think the things that our families teach us, like my father and my mother, they were foster and adoptive parents. And the fact that I do the Wednesday's Child segment, I wish my father could kind of see that segment, because we had some difficult times with my adopted brother. And you know the stories.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he could see that, how a legacy of working with foster care and adoption can be a different story and a different outcome and still uplift and be a voice of hope. And for me, my connection with Kobe Bryant was that we were able to meet him with the foster kids. We would go to Laker practice and he would come over and take a photo and give a hug and a handshake. And just for a child to see their hero, their NBA hero,
right,
to me was a gift. Because Kobe could have gone into the locker room and not come over and said hello, but he would come over, and we have these great photos and this great video of him coming to say hi to a kid, yeah, who's starry-eyed, and it's beautiful. So like, I wish my father could see whatever he put into me about compassion and caring for children in foster care, I think has played out in 25 years of Wednesday's Child.
Definitely. So definitely.
For you with your father, where do you think the legacy continues with your family and your siblings?
I think just the memory. Just the memory of the things we did when we were kids. I think it was like a couple years ago, my brother said, we have a picture of my dad with my two brothers at the Dodger game. And they blew it up a couple years ago and gave one to my brother Mario. And he said that he hasn't worn a Dodger hat since then.
Mm.
And so we got him a Dodger hat. And he has the picture and the Dodger hat. And so
you're getting a Dodger hat and you're putting that on your head.
Right.
You're getting back on the saddle.
Right, right. Yeah. And so when you think that, it just might be a small thing,
yeah,
that makes an impact on someone's life, and I think like Kobe with the Wednesday's Child, it just takes a moment to mm-hmm. inspire someone mm-hmm. and say, you know what? I'm going to do something better with my life, or I'm going to keep going on the right path. And I think the memories of my dad are just sentimental and positive, and like, I don't know. I know that he loved us for the time that he was here. Mm-hmm. He was a hard worker. Obviously, in the restaurants, you're continuously busy. And
one daughter's a pastry chef.
Yeah, one daughter. Yeah. And I love to cook. And And I actually worked. Well, I was 15. I worked at the restaurant, but I think he just didn't want me going to any high school stuff. So he says, you know what? I think it's time for you to start working. And I said, okay, sure. You know, he wanted, you know, he talked, sat me down and talked with me. And he goes, I said, oh, okay. He goes, you're starting tomorrow. And I'm like, what? All right.
And working in the family business.
Yeah.
I bet your son gets a mighty good meal, though.
Yeah.
I know you're a fairly good cook.
Yes, I did learn some tricks there.
Wow. Well, I think one thing that you had told me, too, is that you were 17, like Kobe Bryant's daughter, Natalia, and you felt like you had to kind of become the parent.
Yes, to help out.
Yeah,
to help out, you know, with my mom struggling with grief. She struggled for years. And I think it's everything. It's maybe her not being prepared at a young age.
Well, who would have thought, right?
Yeah,
you don't expect that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I don't think my dad thought he was going.
Of course,
you know, obviously,
you don't plan for that.
Yeah,
right.
So you're not prepared. Mm-hmm. And so I think my mom was unprepared. I mean, like any of us could be any mm-hmm. day when something tragic happens. And I think she had to struggle to adjust. And mm-hmm. so when she was struggling, I could be the buffer. You know, I'd help. Mm-hmm. I'd just help.
I think, too, I feel like I'm so grateful now as I look back. Well, you know, my mom has passed away from cancer about 2 years ago. But the fact that my sister and I, you know, when we got the news, you know, my mother had called me and said, you know, your dad went scuba diving and he didn't make it. And that was the call for me. The sheriff's department came to her home to let her know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of those things where, you know, we had to hop on an airplane and I'm crying. This flight attendant is looking at me. Why is this lady crying?
Yeah.
And I feel like as the kids, we were there. I had foster brothers, too, and they all came in as well. And we picked them up at the airport and we were all walking arm in arm. And I think that for the kids, that's where you step up. And you are that support system, and you do come home for the holidays that maybe you would have skipped, or, you know, you do those extra, because it's now just you guys. It's just you guys, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that it feels like I played a pretty cool role. I feel like I played a pretty cool role that would have been so different had my mom and dad gone off to the Peace Corps again or lived their lives, or they were in their 80s and 90s together. It was certainly a different role. It was us kids.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a crucial role.
Yes, it is. It's, you know, it's interesting that even if we're kids, we can help our parents, you know, just by being ourselves.
Mm-hmm. What do you love about your mom?
She's funny. She's particular. She's funny. I try to visit her as much as I can.
You are a good daughter.
Yeah, we just sit at the table. We drink tea, coffee. And
it's just the simple things.
It's just, we just sit and talk about life and situations, or what, you know, what we could say in a situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, none of us, as we know from these experiences, are guaranteed our days on this planet. May they be long or short. They certainly bring us together in thought and in prayer. And I think so many of us are reaching out to discuss this, to chat about this, to comfort one another as we think of life on this planet.
Yes. And on Sunday, when we were all together for my mom's birthday, we did talk about it, mm-hmm. you know. And as the news was breaking, it was just heart-wrenching. And I think we all just remembered and reflect. And my mom, I know she was reflecting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're only basically a week away from
the anniversary.
The anniversary
of your father's passing.
Yeah. And although it's faded a little bit over the years, but now this kind of brings it back a little bit.
Do you all do anything on that anniversary?
Not necessarily. We might call each other, but I think we kind of now just do our own thing. You know, mm-hmm. my mom has been remarried for, like over 25 years, maybe 30 years now. Mm-hmm. I can't keep track of all these years.
Yeah. But, well, one thing we didn't touch on is you have insight on the aviation industry. So that's a whole other angle. And I and you and I have been discussing, you know, what happened. And I just think that if there's any word of comfort, I don't know if you want to say anything to Vanessa and the kids. Not that they're listening, but I like to put that out to the universe. Is there anything that you want to say as a mother yourself?
Yes. You know, Vanessa, there is always someone that can help you. And when it's time, believe me, the people will help you. And no one is really expected to handle this themselves. It's beyond us. And may you seek comfort in others, because sometimes that's what makes the difference. Maybe somebody will bring you a meal. Maybe somebody will pick you up a meal. That helps. It's okay to be in your pajamas all day or not feel like doing something, and eventually you can heal, and your kids will help you. Mm-hmm.
Sylvia Santana, thank you so much for your thoughts and your wisdom. We happen to be doing this podcast on the very day that Vanessa Bryant has released her words and her thoughts after this tragedy, that this helicopter crash that claimed the life of her husband, Kobe Bryant, and her 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. I want to put out this word, too, that she did put this information out. If you'd like to support and honor the other families affected by the tragedy, she says, those who were on board that helicopter, there were seven others. There is a fund set up. It's called Mamba on Three. You spell out the word three. Mamba on Three Fund, and that is to support them. You would go to make a donation at mambaon3.org. Mambaon3.org. And as Kobe Bryant, you know, we loved his hashtag Mamba, and Gigi is hashtag Mambacita. And I love that what's trending is hashtag girls dad. And Sylvia, you are a hashtag boys mom.
Yes, I am.
And we love you for coming on the podcast.
All right. Thank you, Christine.